Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what did you think of The Cheap Detective?
The Cheap Detective. It felt like I was watching a detective version of Airplane.
We're going to get into that. So, it was kind of an accident, but we're going to leave it in. Murder by Death walked so that the cheap detective could walk just a little bit faster.
There you go.
At least that's what I'm going to go with.
There you go.
All right. So, for those of you who are joining us, willkommen, bienvenue, welcome. Come on in. This is You Want Me to Watch What? Podcast, where Justin and I, who have betwixt the two of us have seen thousands of movies, have said, you know, there are some things that just flew under my radar.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one says, oh, you should definitely watch this one then. And on we go. And so we are well underway of not ruining our friendship, but in fact, strengthening it.
Absolutely.
And deepening it.
Yes.
And there's nothing more wonderful than a strong, deep friendship. This week...
The kind of friendship that is rock hard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This week, we watched The Cheap Detective, a noir spoof of not one, but two famous movies, and a whole host of lesser favorite movies.
Yes.
Anyway... Casablanca and Maltese Falcon. If you have seen Casablanca and Maltese Falcon, you may hate this movie. If you have not seen Casablanca and the Maltese Falcon, you will definitely hate this movie because there are even more jokes you won't get. But it begins. And this is actually the text scrawl that begins it.
Mm-hmm.
In 1939, the ominous gray clouds of war broke loose over Western Europe and rained down havoc and destruction, followed by humidity and gradual clearing. In the Philippines, a small band of native guerrillas prepared secretly for the inevitable conflict that would soon engulf the East. This has nothing to do with our story. Our story is about crime. Not the bad crime we face each day on our streets, but the good crime we came to know and love in a time when the world was innocent. When murder wasn't something you were ashamed of. When a bullet hole wasn't something disgusting. And when a man could betray a woman without feeling guilty. Our story starts in a fictitious city called San Francisco, 7,000 miles away from Casablanca. Yeah. Then we're treated to Abe Vigoda as a cop, filling in the chief detective about several murders that have happened in a hotel, all of them leading to the intended victim, Floyd Merkel, a private detective and partner of our main character, Lou Peckinpah, played by Columbo. I mean Peter Falk. I mean Columbo. Peckinpah becomes a suspect. Why? Because he was having an affair with his partner's wife,
yep.
Georgia. After learning about the murder and that the cops know about his affair, Peckinpah receives a call from a strange woman who promises information regarding the mystery. She wants to meet him in his office. What follows has got to be one of the most baffling scenes involving fake name after fake name, before ultimately saying that she knows nothing about the murder mystery, but instead notes that she believes that her life is in danger and also wants Sam's help to find her niece at first.
Yes.
Shortly after this, Sam gets another call. It's kind of that kind of movie.
Yeah.
From Pepe, who wants someone who wants him to meet at Nick's place on the waterfront. This is where the Casablanca part kicks in. Sam shows up. Scatman Crothers is playing the piano. And we get the whole, do you want me to play? No, I don't. Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Sam listens to Betty DeBoop while Colonel Schissel comes in with his officers, Schnell and Kvicker. And for anybody who knows even a little bit of German, that joke's going to come back. They're Nazis. because that's what you need for a Casablanca ripoff.
Yeah.
And into this scene comes Sam's former flame from his days in Paris, Marlene Duchard, who is showing up with her husband Paul of the French Resistance. They're showing up in San Francisco because they're on the run from the Nazis, and they need slash want to open up a 2-star French restaurant in Oakland. But only if Paul can get his papers. Because it's a Casablanca ripoff.
Yep.
In this case, the papers being a liquor license.
Mm-hmm.
Peckinpah is also put on the trail of a necklace. It is made of egg-sized 765-carat diamonds. This is the Maltese Falcon mystery. It brings Sam into contact with Jasper Blubber, a man doing an amazing... and I wish I could remember his name, Houseman, who does an amazing impression of the guy who played Greenleaf from Maltese Falcon, enough so that he doesn't actually bring anything new to the role. He just does that role. Along the way, we get a fawning secretary, a millionaire architect and his wife, and there are never any real stakes in the way the movie's presented. We know things are going to work out just fine. Some of the film is a delight, some of it's tasteless, but at the end of the movie, the killer's discovered, the French resistant fighter gets his restaurant papers, the necklace is a fake, and Sam ends up with, like, 5 different femme fatales.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, we left out so much, right? Because just so much jammed into this.
Yes.
But... Talk to me about your experience of watching this. We had to watch this one separate. So.
Yeah, and I think I would have enjoyed it more had we been together or had I been around other people. My spouse was... Now, okay, that being said, my spouse was there, but she was not much into it.
This is not her movie.
No. In fact, I think before the credits finished not even scrolling, just being presented on side of buildings and trash cans and trench coats. She had already gone back to playing her video games.
Huh.
Occasionally looking up and going, who is that? Well, that's Peter Falk. Where do I know him from? Columbo? No. Princess Bride? Yeah!
He's the grandpa from Princess Bride.
Who's that? Well, that's Stockard Channing. West Wing? Yep.
Yeah, that's her.
That's her. Yeah. It wasn't a bad movie. I enjoyed it. I laughed at it, but I think I would have enjoyed it more had the atmosphere been different, had I been watching it with people who enjoy those kinds of things with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the problem with, I think, a lot of these movies, especially the movies that we're finding ourselves watching now, you know, things that are from the 70s.
Yeah.
And so forth, it's like, they're just new enough that we know the actors in them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just old enough that it's like the timing is wrong for our last decade.
Yeah.
So, but I like this movie. So did we watch Murder by Death together?
I've never seen Murder by Death.
Okay. You've not seen Murder by Death is better. You know, in my opinion, but it's also a lot more offensive and problematic. So this is Neil Simon movies, mm-hmm. right? And this movie is sillier than that one. The other one is got silly parts in it, but it relies a lot on stereotype, especially like national stereotypes. Okay. And it just doesn't work. This one is about movie stereotypes. It's about character stereotypes much more. It's a lot more accessible. And you don't need to know the background movies for it to be funny. It's like you don't need to have watched Star Wars for Spaceballs to be funny.
No.
But it you get more of the jokes if you do.
Yes.
Same kind of thing here. But Peter Falk nails the Bogart impression.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I'm convinced that he had been doing Columbo already
mm-hmm.
for like 10 years by the time this came out. And so Columbo and Humphrey Bogart are not that different in the noir sense of things. But beyond just Peter Falk, I mean, you're getting Eileen Brennan, Madeleine Kahn, Dom DeLuise, mm-hmm. Sid Caesar, Stockard Channing, Phil Silvers, Abe Vigoda, James Cromwell, Scatman Crothers. All these people kind of lending their talents into this slow burn movie that is ultimately the spiritual ancestor of Airplane, Naked Gun, Top Secret, Hot Shots, Loaded Weapon.
Uh-huh.
Is like, this is one of those movies that really started that kind of thing. Murder by Death did it a little bit with the because that one's based on like detective stereotypes. You've got your, you know, your Miss Marple and your Sherlock Holmes and okay. so on and so forth. But this is, I bought into this movie at the very beginning. So at the very beginning, after you get that text scrawl, that you get the murder, which is weird. Like all the people are still standing or sitting or in the positions they were when they were shot.
Yeah.
And then we find out that the partner, you know, Floyd Merkel is the victim, and he's got a partner who's having an affair with his wife. He didn't know about it. Great detective, huh?
Yeah.
They call Sam Peckinpah, and he answers the phone with his gun pointed at the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
That's when I bought into the movie. It's just this extraordinarily silly, clearly this doesn't work, and yet he's doing it so straight-faced.
Uh-huh.
That it's like, is he an idiot, or is that the world that they're living in? And a little bit of the answer is yes.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't even know what questions to ask at this point. It's one of those that has to almost be seen to be believed.
Pretty much. Yeah, I would agree with that. But I, like I said, I did enjoy it. There were numerous times when I just flat out guffawed, just laughed yeah. out loud. Other times it was kind of a small chuckle. It's a slow burn, but it's not. And I've been thinking about this after you said that. It takes a while to get the fuse from point A to the end of the movie, but you've got smaller pieces of paper or fuse that burn quickly to get through scene to scene to scene to scene to scene, but the whole experience takes a while because a lot is jam-packed into each scene, whether it's sight gags or visual or, you know, jokes being thrown back and forth, fake names, whatever. It's just there's a lot to take in. But it does feel like it takes a while.
I was saying to my spouse that this is one of those movies where you have to watch it three times before you can just walk in and out of the room while it's on.
That's fair.
You know, the first time you're watching this, you cannot, this is not a laundry movie.
No.
You know, the first time you watch, you have to pay attention. And I realize that that's kind of a bizarre thing for us to say. So many of our movies are laundry movies.
This is true. Yes.
But this is one, it's like the first time you watch the Naked Gun movies.
Oh yeah.
There are so many jokes that you'll miss.
Uh-huh.
If you stop paying attention even for a minute. And, you know, this is almost one of those movies that won't be funny anymore in another, like, decade. Because not because of the stereotypes or whatnot, but because the attention span for things.
Yeah.
Is getting so much shorter.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, where it's like, okay, that scene was good, but can we just, like, we're going to see the whole movie as nothing but, like, 25-second shorts on YouTube. And you just, you watch the 25 seconds, and then you scroll to the next scene, and you watch 25 seconds, and you do that, like, 700 times, and you got a movie.
I mean, either that or about half that many clips on TikTok. You just, you know, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes. You know,
a little bit sad to me, but it, honestly, it's these are the kind of movies to me that when you watch them, you have chosen to sit and watch a movie.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of those movies. This is the I want to sit and watch a movie. I want it to not be terribly serious, but I also don't want it to be dumb.
Yeah.
There are dumb gags, but you got to be paying attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Sam, the detective, he always seems to have it so together, and then it's just my favorite scene is he's meeting with Georgia. Georgia has showed up at, or no, Marlene Duchard has shown up, you know, his old love interest has shown up, and she's talking about, you know, the wallpaper, whatnot. She's trying to get him to find the papers for Paul.
Yeah.
And then in a different room in the house is Betty DeBoop, the lounge singer dancer.
Yeah.
And then in the bathroom is the affair, Georgia Merkel, who's got her husband's ashes. That she's trying to give to Sam is like, he was your partner. No, he was your husband. You know, shouldn't come between that. And later on, and then the secretary comes to the door and she's just watching all these women leave, finally makes her move on Sam just in time for the door, you know, the door to knock. And Madeline Kahn comes in full riding gear with a bicycle.
Yeah.
This is just after Georgia has accidentally tripped over the mat, spilled her husband's ashes into the toilet.
Uh-huh.
And we get the twin joke, well, no sense crying over spilled husband, followed immediately by him flushing the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia then says, if I can't have you, no one can have you, pulls a gun on Sam. They wrestle. The gun fires into the toilet, and she says, we shot Floyd.
Yeah.
The whole thing is madness.
I would say that was one of my favorite scenes too, that whole exchange.
Because it's tasteless and it's hilarious and it's weird and it happens fast and the lines are not said quickly. It's not like His Girl Friday where the lines just show up one right on top of the other.
Yeah.
There's space between all of them, but what gets said is usually so deadpan silly.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? What? So, this is a see it from me. It's a see it, you know, be cautious because it's an old movie, but we've said that with every old movie.
Absolutely. It's a see it for me too.
Dracula was the least problematic old movie that we've seen.
Yeah.
See it from me. I think that this is one of those movies that if you watch a modern comedy now, some of its roots are going to be traced back to this movie.
I agree. It's a see it from me as well. And that is a good sentiment. I agree wholeheartedly with that.
So, well, that being said, I think that means it's your turn next, right?
It is.
All right.
Hello, meet Popsicles. Why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.